I'm thankful that God has never done with us. I'm thankful this morning for many things with this church and with my family and with the Christmas celebration that we just had. But I'm thankful God has never done with us and that we have a God who always expects us to keep moving forward. He loves us as we are, and yet He expects us to keep moving forward to a different place than we currently are. I'm thankful for the conviction that comes out of that, that I'm not where He wants me to be ultimately. You ever get overwhelmed by all that is necessary for you to do to grow spiritually? And does anyone else ever just pause and say, wow, He's going to give yet another message and I haven't even applied the one from last week? I do. What am I going to say this week to them? I certainly haven't applied what I just spoke on last Sunday. I mean, there's no shortage of need for spiritual growth and obedience in our lives. And many of us are part of a life group or maybe a Bible study of some kind. And we just finished a verse-by-verse study throughout the entire book of Philippians, which isn't a very long book, but there's a whole lot of meat in it. And we went verse by verse through the whole thing and saw a lot of application and a lot of room for obedience and making a step forward. And I spent a little bit of time here these past couple of weeks just reviewing Philippians and thinking about what do I take from this? And I looked at chapter 1 and there's this statement of living your life, giving yourself totally for the gospel. This news that Jesus lived a perfect, spotless life. He died vicariously for us, and then He was risen again, by which our sins are pardoned. And He says, you are welcome into God's family. Welcome into His complete, never-ending love. So give yourself to this gospel message. And then Paul goes on at the end of chapter 1. But also, keep your focus, keep your eyes focused on your citizenship in heaven. Because to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And so if you can focus more on heaven, you remember that man can't judge you. Woman can't judge you. You don't need to fear any man. What can man do? Only something to the body. But God cares for the soul. A lot of application there. And then on to Philippians 2. I was thinking through, wow, how do I measure up to that stick? Philippians 2. There's Jesus who, being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking on the very form of a man, the nature of a servant. Therefore, He says to us, Paul says, do not look out for your own interests, but instead for the interests of others. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but think of others even before yourself. Grow in humility, Adrian. Man, more to do. In chapter 3, drop the resumes, drop the pretenses, the false spirituality. Don't come into spiritual community with that. You don't need to come into this community with that. You don't need to come before God with the pretenses. You come to God as He is, as you are, before Him as He is. You come to this spiritual community as you are. No need for acting. And then this promise that we can exchange our worries for His peace. As we rejoice, as we live with thanksgiving, as we think on things above, on things that are true and noble and right and pure and excellent and praiseworthy, rather than things below, and the God of peace will be with us. And leading ultimately to the end of chapter 4, in which there's this promise that we can have contentment no matter what we're going through, that we can be well fed or hungry, we can be living in plenty or living in want. But we can make it through any of those conditions because we have Christ who strengthens us. You know, you just read back through Philippians for a half an hour and you say, where do I start? I've been thinking a lot about God's call toward obedience these days, what He wants me to do next, and all the application from that little book. And I get frustrated with my own spiritual development or lack of spiritual development. And I just want to share with you a couple thoughts as you're thinking about your spiritual development for 2013. Here's the first 11 verses of Psalm 119. I considered reading the whole chapter. It's 176 verses. I wasn't going to do that to you. This is a good chapter to read on January 1st. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn about your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. All of Psalm 119, all 176 verses, has to do with obeying the Scripture. Obeying what God has given. And as I'm thinking about my own spiritual growth and this need for obedience, this is a powerful psalm for me to think through. And just a couple realities about spiritual development, though, that I want to give to you really quickly. One is that oftentimes, we don't need more information. What we need is to go backwards to what we've already received. We don't need to immediately go forward to more information. We need to go backwards to what we have already received, and then we can look forward. In order to move forward, we need to look backward. Now, I just want to give you permission that there are some Sundays where the message is not going to apply to you, and that's just fine. There's some Bible studies or some life groups where it's just not going to apply to you. But you pause and you just say, what is it in Philippians that I need to go back and study here in order that I might apply this to my life in 2013? The process that David talks about here of pausing and then hiding the Word of God in our hearts, looking back and meditating on the Word of God in order though that we could live out of it, that process begins with looking backwards, but before we can go forwards. And it's okay to say, I don't have room for more growth in new areas. God has whispered to me there are one or two areas of my life from this past year that I just need to pause and focus on for a bit. You know, I'm convinced that as I continue to learn more about the Scriptures and continue to evaluate my own character, my own spiritual growth, that if I never learned anything more from the Scriptures, if I ever never learned anything more about Jesus, I would still know far more about Jesus. I would still know far more about the Scriptures than I ever apply. My knowledge will still always exceed my application of what God has taught. And so the conviction for me as I move into 2013 is, what has God whispered to me over the course of the past few months that I need to just pause and say, this is where I'm going to address my spiritual development in the next 12 months. Look back in order that we could move forward. And then second, we should just acknowledge that spiritual growth happens slowly, typically just one area at a time. Spiritual growth, by its very nature, takes a while, doesn't it? We think about all that we've learned from our life group or Philippians, whatever other Bible studies that we might be a part of, and we're tempted to say, I'm going to attack these 10 different areas of spiritual growth here in January. It's like saying, I'm going to run a marathon on January 31st, even though I don't currently run. It's just not possible. That's not the way spiritual growth happens. That's not the way obedience and character growth happens. The way character is grown, the way new habits form, is slowly and just one at a time. And so as you're meditating on the Word of God, that you might be careful to do everything that is written in it, as David says, hiding the Word of God in your heart, that you might not sin against the Lord, as David says, I would just encourage you. Maybe it was even something in the silent prayer time that you confess to God. Is there one area that God is whispering to you? This is where you need to grow in 2013. Not 10, but 1. I've shared with you that area for me is patience. I am not a patient man. I've prayed for patience, which I've been told is a very bad thing to do. So I've been given many more opportunities to learn patience. I'm not a patient man, and it's not something to wink at. Some people say, oh, big deal, you're driven, that's good. No, it's a problem. And for 18 months, I've been trying to address this. For 18 months, I've paused. And what I've done, what many other people before me, much smarter than me, much better Bible scholars, though, than I am, have done, is this process that I'll share with you. Whatever that word is for you, for me, it's patience. For you, it could be pride. It could be lust. It could be generosity or greed. It could be honesty. Whatever it is for you, it could be justice, a commitment to true justice. Whatever it is that God is whispering to you, a commitment to prayer, to being a more prayerful person. As God is whispering that word to you, we can begin to grow in obedience in that one area by following this very simple path that many, many people much smarter than me have done way, way before I've said it. You take that word, well, whatever it is, and you do a concordance study. You take out a concordance or a good study Bible. You can even do this online now, well, with some of the Bible applications that we have. Could be patience, as it is for me. You look up all the verses, all the stories, all the references in the Bible that have to do with that one concept. And for the first few weeks of January, you just read those. And you allow that to be your study time in the Scriptures. You read those, and as you read those, you take note of, well, what sticks out to you. And as you take note of what sticks out to you, maybe there are two or three passages in there that really seem to resonate with your heart. And you say, these are the two or three passages for the next few weeks that I'm going to meditate on, that maybe I'll even memorize. And I'm going to come back to them over and over and over again and ask God that by the power of His Spirit, though, that is within me, maybe I would be changed from the inside out with respect to integrity, with respect to lust, with respect to patience. And it's not an effort that we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, but we rely on the Spirit of God. Because the promise is that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Christ is in us. He's our hope of glory. And so we rely on Christ in us. We rely on the Spirit of God, not our spirit, but the Spirit of God. And then from the Spirit of God, things like love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control can actually grow in us, but not overnight, over time. Those things can grow in us. And the way it happens is the Word of God is inherently nourishing to our souls. It's the Word of God. It's inherently nourishing to our souls. And the way that God has designed it is that we would meditate on it day and night. And the picture that I just described of reading and then rereading, meditating, then memorizing, coming back, saying, God, I want to obey this. Would you please help me to obey this? And saying that to Him each and every morning. It's like a cow with its cud. You ever watched a cow chew its cud? I know that's not the prettiest picture as we're talking about memorizing or meditating on Scripture. Have you watched a cow chew its cud? Anyone? A few? A few farmers? Yeah, it goes down, it chews this hay, it gets the nourishment out of it, and then what happens? It goes into one of the bellies, four or five stomachs. How many stomachs does it have? Four stomachs. It goes into one of those four stomachs, then it comes back out later on. It chews on it some more, gets some more nourishment from it. And then it goes back down. And then later on that day, or a few days later, it comes back up, and they chew on it some more. Gross picture, I know. But that's what we're invited to do with the Word of God. Chew on it. Let it go down. Bring it back up. Chew on it some more. And then slowly, bit by bit, over time, what happens is God begins to change us through His Word. His Word inherently has the power to change our lives. And we make this step of obedience with whatever it is that God is whispering to you right now. You say, God, I treasure Thy Word in my heart that I might not sin against You, that I might grow in character, that my spiritual development might be surpassed 365 days from now than it is today in this one area as I treasure Your Word in my heart. God is able to do that for you. Let me pray that for us as we move forward in 2013. Gracious God in heaven, we thank You that You love us and You invite us to Your Scriptures, and You invite us to take further steps of obedience, and that's what we want to do, God. You don't leave us as we are. You invite us to keep moving forward. And we ask, God, by faith, that You would indeed move each and every one of us forward individually and as a congregation in just one area here in 2013. As David did in Psalm 119, so also we want to hide Your Word in our hearts that we might meditate on it, be nourished by it, and increasingly grow in the character of Christ. May it be according to Your Word and for Your glory. We thank You, God, that You are able to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.